Okay, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, thinking of the theme this morning, but God. I want you to pay close attention as we look down through here, and you'll see that little phrase, but God. Look at every day it comes before, what it says, and what comes after. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love of which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. One of the most beautiful passages of Scripture you'll find anywhere in the New Testament, anywhere in the Scripture. But God, look what all God did. Look what we were, look what God did, and look what he was able to cause us to be even today. 41 times in the Bible, in the New American Standard anyway, that we find the term but God. 21 of those times are in the New Testament. But of all those times, there is none that is more beautiful than what we're reading right here this morning. Again, it tells us what we were, but then it tells us what God did, and now what we are in Christ Jesus. As we look at this passage, we see three of the greatest words in any language. That is mercy, love, and grace. Mercy, love, and grace. You don't find any greater words in any language. The three greatest words are connected to God. And it's put into practice toward us. That's even greater, isn't it? These are attributes of God, and God has put those into effect to us, each one of us, as he has made available to us the way of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another great word you'll find in that passage is the word gift. And that boggles the mind. That is unfathomable. We cannot even begin to appreciate what it means when it says it is a free gift of God. And all that God has done to provide that free gift unto us. Only thing I know in this life that seems too good to be true, but it really is. Most things that seem too good to be true usually are not true. didn't have. Started all the way back in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? All the way back in the Garden of Eden. They ate that forbidden fruit of their own free will, their own free choice, didn't they? They did it. And the woman didn't make Adam eat it. Adam ate it. She offered it to him and he ate it. But then when God comes on the scene, what do we hear? What does the man say? Well, God, it's your fault, basically, is what he's saying. God, it's your fault. It's that woman you gave me. He didn't want to admit he did it of his own free will, did he? It was the woman that caused me to do that. And it goes in there.
Satan's thing. We just didn't realize it, but we were doing Satan's thing. We weren't doing our own thing. Because you see,
we're going to have one of two masters over our life. It's either going to be God or it's going to be Satan. There is no middle ground. And there's going to be a master over our life. Reminds me of a young couple. They've been courting for about a couple of years. And the young man, he was just kind of nervous. He's trying to figure out how he could pop the question to her. And so they were out one evening. He thought, well, a nice night, I'm going to do it. I'll just wait for the opportune time. And somewhere in the conversation they were having, she said, well, I'll tell you right now, I'm nobody's fool. And he says, will you be mine? We may say that, well, nobody's master over our life, but there is. And it's either Satan or it's God. And the Bible certainly bears that out. So what we were lost. Everyone was lost before coming to Jesus Christ. Then we see what God did. What a beautiful passage of Scripture that is. What God did. Verses 4 through 9 of our text. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. A free gift of God. Through what? Through faith. And a genuine faith is an obedient faith, isn't it? There's a lot of faiths out there today, but there's only one real faith, one genuine faith. That's produced by the Word of God. And it only becomes a reality in our life when we are obedient to what that Word says. What the Word says. We need to read that carefully. Read that passage over and over again and absorb what it's saying to us there. Look not only at what God did for you, but look at His motivation. Why did He do it all? Because of His what? Great love. His great love. Motivation behind everything that God has done has been love. It has been love. Even from the very beginning, even when He knew we were going to sin before He created us, it was love that caused God to create us and also then make a way for us to return unto Him. Everywhere we look, we find that. And again, God's not just a love that He tells us about. God's just a love that was demonstrated. It was demonstrated. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is what? He demonstrated His love. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't say, I love you, and just let everything go, did He? No, He demonstrated it by action. And that's what it should be in our life as well. Our love for God ought to be demonstrated by the actions in our life. First of all, an acceptance of what He has said in His Word and being obedient to that. And then going on to do the rest of all that He has commanded in the Word. And love is to be the motivating force behind it all. Mercy there means that He didn't give us what we deserve. And grace means He gave us what we didn't deserve. Those are wonderful, wonderful words. And they're applied by God to whom? To us. To us. What a beautiful passage of Scripture that we find there. But it certainly is hard on our pride, isn't it? Hard on our pride. Because you see, we only have two options. That is, either accept it or reject it. Accept it or reject it. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. There's nothing you can possibly do that will make you worthy of what Christ did for you on Calvary. It is a free gift of God. And we receive that when we meet God where God said that He would meet us. So we have to admit that we cannot earn it. And that's hard on our pride, isn't it? We like to think we're self-made. We like to think we pull ourselves up our own bootstraps. We don't need anybody. Nothing can be farther from the truth. Even in everyday life, we need others. And how much more so when it comes to this matter of eternal life, salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. First thing, it's hard to accept the fact that we're a lost sinner. That's the first thing it's hard to accept. The second thing it's hard to accept is a free gift of God. We just feel like that we just have to earn it some way or other. We got to do something. We got to be good enough. And we can never, ever be good enough. In fact, Luke, I believe it was 17:10, somewhere along there anyway, where it says, even after we've done all things, we're still their unprofitable servants. We're still unprofitable to God. It is because of God's love and His free gift that He has given us through Jesus Christ when we were obedient to the gospel message. Oh, the joy when we finally understand and accept what God has done. Verses 5 through 7. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Certainly bears it out. It bears it out throughout this passage. What does it require? It requires full surrender and dependence. Not independence, dependence. We need to declare, not our independence, but declare our dependence upon God. We need to surrender our life, our will to God's will, and become dependent upon Him. Because it is He is the one through whom we will receive the gift of eternal life. How can we help but love and serve the one who is doing the impossible for me? How can I help but love and serve the one who God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son? You can all put your own name right in there, but it's true. It is true. And the motivation behind it all was God's love. And He did that because of His great love and His mercy and His grace that His gift was applied to each one of us. True freedom is only found in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're in bondage. Only true freedom comes to Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I mean truly free. And who the only person can do that? That's Jesus Christ. He is the only one who has ever been or ever will be that can set us completely free. That's what God did. And what are we now? What we are now. In verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. That means that's where we live. That's where we live. We live in these things. Wow! A new creation. A new creation. God has created us anew. When we come out of those baptismal waters, what does He say He's going to do? Forgive us of our past sins, and the Holy Spirit's going to come in to live. Part of the water and of the Spirit. We become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And certainly the Scriptures bear that out throughout. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you've always been obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. But God, He will not do that. He will not override your will unless you surrender your will totally to Him and become completely dependent upon Him. Then He is unable to work those things in our life. The one thing I say we'll always find in, and that is that Father always knows best. He always knows best. He has only our good in mind. And everything that He says in this book, only our good in mind. If we ever get that through our thick, callous brain, then we begin to surrender our life to Him and become dependent upon Him and allow Him, allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of God in our life. God working through us to give us the grace life one can have. God called me, God saved me, and He's marked out a wonderful plan for my life. He has marked out a wonderful plan for my life, and I have to allow Him to have His way in my life, don't I? Because, you see, we're still free agents. We can still say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I don't want any part of that. It's up to us whether we surrender to God's will or not. So now His self-will was crucified and buried. We bury Him in that watery grave of baptism. Then God's will can be accomplished in me. As long as the old self is resurrected, as long as the old self and self-will is there, then God cannot do that. That's why we bury the old man. It's like a crucifixion that took place. We are buried with Christ. We're buried into His death. We will now and stop producing the fruit of the flesh, so the Holy Spirit can produce his fruit in our lives. And what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Is there any of those things you don't want in your life? Is there any of those things going to bring in happiness to your life? I will tell you what the fruit of the flesh is. You can go over and read it for yourself. It's in there. It's not a very pretty picture, is it? But when we allow the Holy Spirit to produce his fruit in our life, then these are the things that will be produced in our lives. We have stopped producing the fruit of the flesh so that the Holy Spirit can produce his fruit in our life. And as they sang here earlier in the service here today, he's everything to me. He's everything. And that's more than a song. I hope when we utter those words that it comes to the truth of our heart, that he is everything to me. Listen carefully to John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus did not come to take away from our life. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not pie in the sky someday. It's the greatest life you can live here. And again, it's the only one that has eternal life in your future. And it's up to each one of us to make that decision for us to decide. Do you get that? Do you get that? That seems paradoxical, doesn't it? It's just like the Beatitude in Matthew 5. Have you read those? I mean, you read those and you think, man, that can never be. How is that going to make me happy? And yet, whenever you try them and you apply them to your life, what happens? They bring about just what it says, a happiness and that holy spiritual happiness to your life that you can have in no other way. We are saved by grace, that's unmerited favor. Through faith, that's through belief and acceptance of what God has said and obedience to it. And then we receive what? We receive the free gift. And that free gift is all of God. Just because you were buried in that watery grave doesn't mean you earned it. Some people would like to look at that as a work. Well, that's not a work. That's a submission. That is submission. In fact, I do all the work. You got to just stand there and do nothing. I have to do all the work. I have to let you down and bring you back. So it's not a work. It's a submission to the authority of God and meeting God as God says he will meet you. I will not work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done, but I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. Our prayer ought to be, Lord, let me be a nobody telling everybody about somebody that can save anybody. And whenever we are completely surrendered to Jesus Christ and his will, that will be our will too. And only there are we going to find the real joy, peace, and happiness of the Christian life. We sing it every Sunday night. I will serve thee because I love thee. I love, that's the motivating force that is to be in each of our lives. We do not have to earn anything, so we're free to serve. We're free to serve. We don't have to live a life here of always being in fear. We're going to be cast out. God loved us. He's provided it all. We cannot earn it. All we can do is submit to his will, be where he said, and live the life for him. That's what he's called us to do. Again, there's no greater phrase or passage in the Bible than you find right here. But God. But God. Everything that follows that is certainly beautiful. If you haven't read that passage, you need to read it over and over again. Read it slowly and think about what is being said in that passage. We have looked at where we were, what God did, and where we are now, and how beautiful and how true it is. We certainly found out that no one can be good enough. You can't be good enough, you can't pay enough, you can't earn enough. You just don't have the ability. This time you can't do it. This time you can't do it. I don't care if that hurts your self-esteem or not. No, you can't do it on your own. And you can't do it. God is supplying it as a free gift. All you can do is submit to his will in order that you may receive what he has for you. Only, and I repeat, only through and by God's great love, mercy, and grace can we receive that gift. Only through that which God has provided. And when we come to fully understand that, when we swallow our pride and we surrender, then we find true happiness and true joy in our lives. Far too many church members are motivated by fear and legalism instead of love. And until you reach that love level, you'll never be happy in your Christian life. Never, ever, I guarantee it. Now, it's not all right to start out with fear level, because fear of hell is a good sign. Jesus did not set us free to live a miserable existence, but he set us free to live the abundant life now. John 10:10 again makes that very clear. If you want to write that down for reference. You can't earn it. You can only receive it when you realize you're bankrupt. You can only receive it when you realize you're bankrupt and you come in genuine faith. And again, that genuine faith is the faith. And that faith is produced by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And as the Word of God produces the genuine faith in our life, it'll be an obedient faith, and we're going to be turning to God, turning away from the world, turning away from sin, turning toward God, with the attitude of heart and mind, and God, from this day forward, I'm going to live my life for you with your help. I surrender my will to yours. I am going to be dependent upon you from now on. Old self is being going to be crucified. Old self is ready to be buried. Only then are we ready to confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart, and that is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that profession of faith, then we are to be immersed into Jesus Christ. Immersed for the forgiveness of our sin and receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We rise up a new creation in Christ Jesus. We rise up to walk in what? Newness of life. Not the same old person that went down into that baptistry. A new creation in Jesus Christ. And we receive that free gift of God, which is salvation and eternal life. And he has a plan for your life. And if you will continue to submit your will to his will, then he'll bring that plan about in your life. But it's up to you. You're the one that must make the decision. Again, you're going to have one of two masters over your life. Will it be God or be Satan? There is no middle ground. There is no in between. Once you come to the springs of the